calendar. It's the presentation of Christ in the temple. And that's that was a particular portion of the law of Moses where the firstborn especially would be brought to the temple and be presented to the Lord. So they were fulfilling the law. And this, it's always February the 2nd, which you probably thought was Groundhog Day, but it's actually this day. And it rarely falls on a Sunday, like once every 7 years it falls on a Sunday. So here we are, it's falling on a Sunday, and I wanted to share with you a few things about that. First thing I want to do is point out something in a recent newsletter. I have a hard copy of the newsletter here, and sometimes when we print it, the photo gets cut in half. So pay no attention to that. See, there's the other half. The part I want to point out to you here is in every newsletter, there is the Centerville Circle of Prayer, and there's a business there that's mentioned every time, and it's to pray for that business. So, you know, if you would remember and you think of that, and just a couple weeks ago, we had QJ Nails in Centerville that the business would increase. Now, that's the nail salon that's next to Enzo's and Double Aught Floors used to be on the other side, but they closed. That store is now empty. So, all the years I've been here, it's coming on 7. I would go in there and say, we pray for every business in Centerville, and we put it in our newsletter. What can we pray for you? And in this particular business, it's Vietnamese owners, and they're Buddhists, and none of them really speak English very well. But I keep going back in, and I leave the newsletter, and I mark the we prayed for this for you. Do you want us to add anything? And of course, they didn't know what I was saying or anything, but they left it for the owner. I never heard back from the owner. Now, this past Tuesday, I went back in with this newsletter. The picture was a lot better, by the way, the photo. But I went back in with this one, and I talked to somebody, and she had very little English. But there was another Vietnamese woman there who did. His name is May. May, as in May I.
I go there. I don't know who May is.
Well, she was just there a little bit, you know, just a friend helping out. And she had very good English. And she said, I'm so happy that you're praying for us. Said, I go to the Roman Catholic Church down here in Patterson. It's a Vietnamese church. I said, I go every morning to Mass, and I pray every day, and I'm so glad that you are. Where is your church? I said, it's right here on Hockett Road. She said, that's great. And she says, what do you do there? I said, well, I'm the pastor. She said, well, I'm so honored that you're here and that you're praying for us like this. This is just wonderful. And she shared a little bit more about her faith in Jesus and just the depth of it. And then I said, well, as you remember, maybe you could pray when you're at Mass that people in this community would come to faith. Those who don't know Jesus would come to faith. And she says, oh, I pray for that already every single day, that's what would happen. And I want you to know, that didn't even make it on my list of the last things that I would see, that somebody in that business would have that depth of faith and be open about it just in front of everyone and feel that way and be open towards me about it. That was just incredible. Although, I kept going back all these 7 years just hoping that something would happen, whatever, be some kind of answer to prayer. And that is the deepest response to saying, well, we're praying for you, that I've had from any business. And I've had some very wonderful times with some Christian business owners here that have been very open. But that, you know, that the richness of that was incredible. That reminded me, actually, after reading the gospel for today, this incident reminded me of that. But Simeon, who had spent much of his life looking for what he calls the consolation of Israel, for the Messiah, sees the child and says, now I have seen the consolation of Israel. There's a promise given to Simeon, and he saw it, and then he began praising God. I believe this is a promise given to me and to us about the people coming into the family of God in this area, and I was thinking I'll just keep looking and going and working at it, and there I saw it in that Buddhist-owned place. And there, what there is in hearing God and catching the promises of God, there is a pattern, and it repeats over and over again. There's the promise, then there's the fulfillment, and then there's praise. And God will give us a promise in one way or another. And often people don't recognize that that's the Spirit of God talking to them. But there's some longing in your heart, something you're saying, well, I should pray for that, or whatever, or only God can do that. That is the Spirit of God breaking through into you with a promise that he wants you to see. And sometimes if a number of people get it, it's a promise that for the group that God wants the group to see and to find. And then what happens is we go on to fulfillment, and in the fulfillment, it's not the completion of the promise. It's where you see that the promise is there and it'll play out. And then there's praise, and Simeon had that wonderful hymn of praise that is actually, if you were amongst those who do evening prayer every day, this is said every day in evening prayer. But we see here the second paragraph of the gospel. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. Very significant, because it's still kind of the Old Testament pattern of the Spirit showing up occasionally. It wasn't until Pentecost that the Spirit is everywhere all the time. So that's very significant. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him into his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your will," and so on. You can see the promise, the fulfillment, and the praise. And that's the pattern that God will repeat with us. So just to unpack it a little bit with Simeon. Simeon's had this promise. We don't know when it was, but we know the Holy Spirit told him, before you die, you're going to see the Messiah. So, he's holding on to that. He's ready. He's praying about it. So I don't know what he did, but there was something about him that he held on to that promise and kept looking for it. And so he was able to recognize the Messiah as a child when he walked into the temple. And that was the fulfillment. Now, I want you to notice that the fulfillment was not Jesus riding out of heaven on a white horse with legions on horses following him, as we see at the end of Revelation. It wasn't the entire fulfillment of the whole promise. It was the beginning of the promise, and Simeon recognized it. Very, very significant, very important. Because if God gives you something, some longing in your heart, and then you see something of it, you say, "Oh yeah, that's it." But it's not filled. It's not complete. You still have that promise. It's fulfilled, and you could start taking steps towards it. And the reason for that is that our God is an absolutely infinite God. And the promise itself, which is a mirror of his character, will be infinite as well. So in this life, we'll never see the completeness of it. It's like an apple seed. And within an apple seed is an infinite number of orchards. You plant that apple seed, you get a tree. there's all these apples on the tree. And out of that apple, each apple, there's all these seeds within it. And it'll just keep multiplying like that infinitely. That is like the promise of God. But, you know, if you plant that apple seed and you see just a little twig coming out of the ground, a little flower, you have seen the promise. The promise you hoped for, you now see it. And that's the way it is with the promises of God in our life. And if you're that person who's planted that apple seed and that starts coming up, you start thinking, oh, this is the greatest day of my life. This is wonderful. Look at this. That tree's starting to come. And it's just a little thing. But you know, yeah, that's it. That's the way it is with every promise of God. Now, we don't know what Simeon expected when he was looking for the Messiah. He might have been expecting something much fuller, much, much more complete than a little boy in the temple. But when he saw that little boy, he knew it. Now that's the way it is for us. It's exactly like that. There may be things on your heart right now, this morning, that are desires that you want to see. You want to see them happen. You want to see something take place. And you feel God keeps prompting you to that, or you are continually drawn to prayer about that. You want to see God do something with that. Maybe it's in your family or your neighborhood or the things that you do or you know, whatever it is. That's the prompting of the Spirit. He will fulfill that dream. And the reason he will fulfill that dream is because he wants that promise fulfilled more than you do. As deeply as you want it fulfilled, it's the promise of God, and he wants it fulfilled more than you do. So he'll keep drawing you to it, keep tapping you on the shoulder, pray about it, share about it, you know, whatever it might be, whatever step it is. And that deepens your desire for it, and it deepens your longing to see it. And then what happens is in that longing and that desire, however long that is, whatever time period that is, you are being prepared to recognize it when it's just a little tiny bud coming up or a small child or whatever it is. But the first bits of that promise, and that's the fulfillment. And you can begin now walking towards that promise, taking those steps, whatever it is that God prompts you to do as you see that. And then it draws us into praising him for it. I mean, just the natural response that we're going to have if we've gotten to the place where we recognize the promise of God in its smallest form, if we've gotten to that place, our natural response is going to be, thank you, Jesus. What a wonderful God you are. Things like that will come. That's the pattern of our life. The pattern of the promises of God, of hearing them and seeing them, of perceiving the activity of God. It's the promise, the fulfillment, and then the praise. And the more that pattern repeats, the more you hear a promise of God and it repeats, the more you're able to perceive the presence of God, the activity of God, the things that God is doing because he began talking to you about it even before it happened. Now, the thing is, God wants to talk to us about this. He wants for us to hear the promises. He wants for us to know what's coming. He wants for us to have that longing and that preparation, and then we see it in its smallest form to recognize it and then to move into the praise of him who's providing it and then have that happening over and over again. That's exactly what he wants. See, what I want you to notice about Simeon, because it'll be true for us too, is that Simeon, this promise that Simeon received was this: you will not die before you see the Messiah. The promise was not, I'm going to straighten you up, clean you up, make sure that you are walking right and really not doing anything wrong before you die. That was not the promise at all. Now, a lot of people think that is the promise of God. God's going to straighten me up. The promise of God is that he will give you the desires of your heart, the desires that he put in there. And part of what we do in the power of the Spirit is adopt those rhythms of our life that help us receive those promises more deeply. I mean, isn't it true that you can't clean yourself up? Isn't that right? I mean, when you tell somebody don't do that, and isn't that the thing that they go do? This is the way it is. This is why God promises, hey, doesn't give you a promise, I'm going to straighten you up, and then things are going to be fine. He says, I'm going to bring you the promise of my kingdom, and it will begin transforming you. Now, I want to give you one way of moving ahead in this. If you have taken up the practice that we talked about a few weeks back of not going to your cell phone before you get out of bed, if you've started doing that, God bless you. That's wonderful. So, because you're saying to yourself, I don't want the flow of daily news or the emails that are coming my way to frame my day. I want something else to frame my day. If you're doing that, God bless you. I want to give you another suggestion. It's just something you can do along that same line. Or let me be a little transparent. I still keep my cell phone next to the bed, but I don't look at it for 2 hours. I leave it there. And I go get my Bible and prayer book and pray through morning prayer and read a few things and talk to Carol a bit and all that. And then I get my cell phone. Because I don't want that stuff framing my day. Now, one thing that you could do, I mean, you don't have to go for 2 hours and do that if you don't want, but this is one step you could do. Before you get out of bed, if you take off the covers, if you have enough mental acuity to do this at that time, you could say something like this: bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Before your feet hit the floor. Or let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Or sometimes, and some of you have shared this with me, you'll have one of our praise songs going through your mind. Just let that go for a little bit. Let it keep going before you get out of bed. And that's going to start framing your day. And within the frame of that for your day, the promises of God will start getting a little clearer. And you'll be prepared to see the fulfillment, the first blossom of that promise. And that'll just take you to the next step, which is praising him for what he's doing. I want to encourage you to do that. Even if you messed up the day before, you got mad, you did something you shouldn't have done, you did something that you know you shouldn't have done and you did it, or you didn't do something that you said you were going to do, or whatever it was, or you had an impure thought, or you thought things about your neighbor or whoever it was. You fill in your own blank of what you think God's going to have to straighten you up for, even if you did any of that. You can still say before your feet hit the floor the next morning, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Would you please stand? Lord Jesus, we thank you for what you're doing with us. We thank you that the desires of our hearts have come from you, and that you keep drawing us to see them fulfilled. We ask that the pattern of promise, fulfillment, and praise would be the pattern that marks our lives. And we ask that you would do that within us every single day for the glory of your name. Amen. Amen.